Abbas Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you. Welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, economists expect the South African Reserve Bank to be more cautious with regards to a cut in the interest rate, and South Africa may need to revise its trade agreement with the United States. The economist Waldo Krichel talks about the country's unemployment rate. In international business news, U.S. President Donald Trump's flagship tax and spending bill has narrowly passed in the U.S. Senate. In investment news, the share price of the investment company Raynet Investment rose significantly. And we'll check in with Chris Hunting from the Center for Risk Analysis to talk about, among others, aspects South Africa's black economic empowerment policies.
A look now at local business news.
Economists expect the South African Reserve Bank to be more cautious and hold on to an interest rate cut this month. This follows a turbulent month in global markets due to the sudden escalation of war in the Middle East. The volatility impacted South Africa's currency and fuel prices. A sudden spike in oil prices led to a fuel price hike and an expected rise in inflation this month. The Central Bank's Monetary Policy Committee will meet and announce the next rate decision at the end of the month. South Africa may need to revise its trade agreement with the U.S. to align with a new trade template introduced under the Trump administration, which promotes more reciprocal trade with sub-Saharan Africa. Although South Africa has not yet seen the final template, Trade Minister Parks Tau said a revised submission may be required, with an extended deadline expected. The moves comes after U.S. tariffs have undermined key benefits of AGOA, impacting South Africa's exports in the agriculture and automotive sectors. South Africa is also requesting product exemption from steep tariffs to take effect on July 9th and continues diplomatic efforts to safeguard its U.S. market access. And the cost of financing and owning a vehicle has far outstripped inflation in South Africa. This is according to a study by WesBank. The group says buying a car in South Africa has become significantly more expensive over the past decade. The overall cost of ownership costing 1,705 rand more per month than it should. We now have the president of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on the line with us. Waldo, would you have some insights to share on the country's unemployment rate?
Over the past few weeks, there's been a lively debate about South Africa's unemployment rate. The official figure from the quarterly labor force survey stands at 32.9%. Capitec CEO Gary Fourie said that the rate may be closer to 10%, and then other commentators jumped in to argue that the truth lies somewhere in between. Fourie's argument is that the informal and township economy provides an income to many people, but that Stats SA may not be counting all the entrepreneurs correctly and records them as discouraged work seekers. The statistician general responded that it's incorrect to say that Stats SA does not take the informal sector into account. They do measure it. There were also other responses saying that Fourie's claim that the informal sector is not measured is simply wrong and therefore cannot be a valid starting point for a conversation about the unemployment rate. I don't think that's the right way to approach it. The argument that many people misunderstand the QLFS survey question and actually do work or have informal sources of income but don't regard it as a job is mere speculation. But it is true that the informal sector is very much alive. There's a reason why formal sector players like Boxer and USAFE have their eyes on township expansion. Another way to take the conversation forward is to ask what a lower unemployment rate would mean for our view of the economic policy. Are we happy or concerned that the informal sector may be larger than the official figure suggests? Are there implications for something like the Presidential Employment Initiative or a youth wage subsidy? Simply talking about the national average unemployment rate doesn't actually say much.
Thanks very much, Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from the prof, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
U.S. President Donald Trump's flagship tax and spending bill has narrowly passed in the U.S. Senate after hours of deadlock. Vice President J.D. Vance cast the tie-breaking vote, sending the bill back to the House, where it still faces resistance. The legislation proposes permanent tax cuts and sweeping reductions to programs like Medicaid, drawing criticism from Democrats and some Republicans. Concerns include a projected $650 billion annual deficit increase. Qantas Airlines alerted customers after a cyber attack targeted a third-party platform used by its contact center, exposing data of up to 6 million people. With sensitive information like passwords and financial details not compromised, names, contact info, and frequent flyer numbers may have been accessed. This breach was detected on the 30th of June and has been contained and reported to authorities. The incident follows warnings about airline sector cyber threats and adds to a wave of recent Australian data breaches.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
The share price of the investment company Raynet Investments rose significantly on Monday morning. This follows rumors that a buyer is interested in its stake in a pension group. The Rupert-controlled company's share price was at one stage more than 8% higher. The company confirmed the rumors at the close of the JSE last week on Friday that there is a possible buyer for its stake in the British Pension and Insurance Corporation. Raynet owns 49.5% of PIC. Before we say goodbye, we're joined today by the head of policy analysis at the Center for Risk Analysis, Chris Hutting. Chris, thanks for joining us. Given the recent tensions and ultimatums within the Government of National Unity, is the DA's continued participation in the GNU still politically tenable?
The Democratic Alliance faces a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation being in the GNU. On the one hand, many of its supporters and other potential voters would feel it is good that the DA is in the GNU. It introduces competition. It holds the ANC accountable in different ways, not in every way, but in some ways. On the other hand, there will also be DA supporters and potential voters who feel that the party is just being walked over by the ANC. So it's a difficult situation for the DA to try and figure out, given that it is now in national government, in the coalition government. But right now, it looks like the DA is going to remain inside the GNU for the short to medium term. Longer term, towards the next ANC conference and towards the 2029 elections, the DA might then start to make a case for why it's better for the party to then at that point leave the GNU, but not to do so right now.
To what extent will a stricter BEE policy further constrain South Africa's economic growth and international trade relations?
The stricter BEE and transformation policies have the risk or the possibility of lowering investor certainty in South Africa's labor environment and economic environment. It's by no means guaranteed that it will result in that, but that's just where the probability lies based on how the policies have been implemented up until now, where largely politically connected individuals have benefited from these kinds of regulations at the cost of the majority of especially black South Africans. So if South Africa is now trying to make itself more attractive for international economic investment and trade, the route of stricter BEE policies is not necessarily the way to go if South Africa really wants increased growth.
What is perceived as the biggest risk to restore consumer confidence and support business growth in South Africa?
According to a survey by Santam, which surveyed over 900 consumers, businesses and insurance brokers, the biggest risks facing consumers were the increase in cost of living, crime and economic challenges. For brokers, the top three risks were increasing cost of living, economic challenges, and unemployment. For businesses, the top three risks were crime, a challenging economy, and poor infrastructure. And finally, for the brokers who service businesses, the biggest risks were poor infrastructure, a challenging economy, and crime. All of this, of course, ties to the question of economic growth, which means high crime, broken infrastructure, and anti-growth policies all prevent the economy from growing.
And that was Chris Hutting from the Center for Risk Analysis. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on Biz Scoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of Biz Scoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.